Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth-generation homeopath with over 20 years of professional practice in this field of healing. In the Homeopathy Health Show, I'll be talking all things homeopathy and natural, with guest interviews, tips and advice, and answering some of your questions. Homeopathy is truly a unique complementary system of healing, suitable for all ages, young and old. I'd love to hear from you and welcome your questions on homeopathy and how it can or has helped you. Feel free to email me at health@liketreatslike.co.uk or visit online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi, how are you? Well, I sincerely hope and pray that you are well and in good health, and may it certainly continue to be that way. Now, in today's show, I'll be talking about the homeopathic repertory, in this case, the meta-repertory that I use in daily practice, and this will give you an example of how I certainly get to a chief remedy or remedies for an example case, which I'll be going through today. Later in the show, I'll be speaking to my special guest this week, Dr. Tawseef Ahmed Khan, who is the Research Associate at the Temerty Faculty of Medicine for the University of Toronto in Canada, who has co-authored several studies in honey and the benefits to human health. And we'll also have time for reflection, and hopefully, if there's time, I'll answer some of your questions. Now, did you know that homeopaths, or certainly I can refer to myself here, in general, do refer to a vast amount of literature that is available in the form of books, journals, periodicals, and so forth, with regards to homeopathy, description of remedies, and so forth. Now, one of my favorite homeopathic repertories, which enables me to reach a conclusion on the remedy or remedies that needed to be given to a patient with certain symptoms, is called the meta-repertory. This repertory is compiled by the late Robin Murphy, ND, who was a naturopathic doctor from the United States. Robin sadly has passed away some time back, and indeed I pray that may God be well pleased with him and accept his services to humanity in the field of healing within homeopathy, and may his soul be at peace. We will greatly miss him. In one of the future episodes, I will speak about Robin in more detail. He was a very eminent homeopath, very, very knowledgeable. And what made Robin very unique, actually, was the fact that he was very calm when he actually spoke. He was very informal, you could say, almost. He had this wonderful ability to get information across. And indeed, his work lives on through something called the Lotus Institute in America. And you can Google that and find out more about his work and be able to view his seminars and to look through some of the books that he has written. Now, I started actually way many, many years back. I can't remember how long ago this was now, but I started with Robin Murphy's second edition of both the Homeopathic Remedy Guide and then the Homeopathic Medical Repertory. So two books, two volumes. So basically the Remedy Guide is the Materia Medica, and this is what homeopaths refer to. Certainly I refer to this, and this is the list of homeopathic remedies alongside their symptoms. This is covering the mind, body, and spirit. And then you actually have the repertory, which allows you to hone in on particular symptoms and causations, finding the ideal remedy or remedies. Now, a few years later, after the second edition, which, by the way, was in a lovely, almost like an Amazon green, very, very nice. I'm looking at the books as I'm talking to you, actually. They're on my bookshelf. And I have many, many books on homeopathy. And makes delightful reading as well, because once you look through one book, it refers you to something else that comes in your mind, and you pick up another book, and you can get quite lost very, very quickly. Such is the amazing amount of information that is available on homeopathy. Anyhow, I digress. So the third edition of Robin Murphy's books were the homeopathic clinical repertory. So this moved from the homeopathic medical repertory to the homeopathic clinical repertory, and the Materia Medica was now called the Nature's Materia Medica, and this was the previous one was the Homeopathic Remedy Guide. Now the latest versions of these two books, or two volumes, they're companions to one another, as far as the Materia Medica is concerned, is Robin Murphy's fourth edition, which is called Nature's Materia Medica. And this Materia Medica, beautifully bound, really a delight to read and refer to. I refer to it all the time. My only worry is that sometimes I'm in a rush and I just don't want to rip the pages. You have to be so careful, because I want these books to last. They are actually very well presented, and they do indeed last. As I've said, I've had the green second editions on my shelf for many, many years now, and they're definitely built to last. Anyhow, the fourth edition of the Nature's Materia Medica contains 1,500 homeopathic and herbal remedies, and within that you have, for example, there's so many remedies indeed, but if we were to look at one, let's say Cardus Marianus, which is referred to as St. Mary's Thistle, and this can be taken as avid homeopaths will be aware, and those who use herbal remedies or herbal medicine, very, very good for the liver, and this can be taken in tincture form. But nevertheless, so the Materia Medica here comprises of all the symptoms that Cardus is beneficial for, and these includes gallstones, headaches related to gallstone colic, liver disorders, and so on and so forth. And then the second part of this companion, of these two volumes, is the Meta Repertory. And this is Mind-Body Clinical Index of Homeopathic Remedies. And the Meta Repertory is basically a way to analyze a case and then get to a rubric, which is the one that is most applicable to the remedy that you wish to identify for a person. So, for example, within the Meta Repertory, there are many, many chapters which cover the whole human body, from the mind itself. There's a chapter called Mind and Emotions. And then you go through the body itself, the abdomen, the liver, the limbs, extremities, eyes, ears, mouth, and so on and so forth. And within that, there are subheadings. So if we look at abdomen, for example, here, and abdomen covers a number of things, so pain in the abdomen, you have a pressing pain in the abdomen, and then later on there's a subheading saying the pulsating pain abdomen, a sensation of roughness, which is another subheading, and so there's so many things. This is just to give you sort of an idea and a flavor, really. There's time does not permit to go into so much detail, but this is sort of the book that I use, and it certainly helps. Now, with modern technology, of course, with we have on one side social media, and we're all in a connected world, and it's brilliant. So the same is with homeopathy, that we also have computer programs available, which can repertorize in a automatic way. So we don't have to, the necessity for carrying books or looking through books is reduced. Repertorization with computer software, of course, is much, much faster, and it does help, very good in its own place. Personally, for me, I love the fact of picking up the book and looking through the book. It's something personal, of course. There are times that I do use repertorization with computer software, and there are some amazing software programs out there for homeopaths which works so, so well and so, so fast. So there's a good variety indeed out there. So that's the Materia Medica and the repertory, the meta repertory in this case, which is something I certainly love to refer to. A lot of work has gone into compiling all the rubrics. The rubrics are the end symptoms, which are also linked to emotions as well, and pathology generally. But fascinating, and the knowledge that goes into these books is just really, really incredible. As a side thought, though, it makes me wonder, because we live in this world, don't we? We're all connected. We all have access to social media, so Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and the next emerging thing, almost. So many. There's always something coming, which in the world of social media, which stumps the one previously, and you just move on. And of course, YouTube changed many things back in the day, and everything is digital, and you can read books digitally. You can listen to so many things digitally. Of course, music is streamed by people nowadays, and it's the norm. But the sheer delight of actually picking up a book and going through the pages and reading, I think, will never, ever be beaten, irrespective of technology. There is only so much you can read from a computer screen or absorb. Going back to the books, which have been always, let's say they've always been there, for argument's sake, have this special feeling, and it's magical. It really is. A book can take you away, and you can become totally absorbed in a book, whereas that's not the case with perhaps modern technology. Certainly you can be absorbed, but it's not the same type of absorption where a book truly carries you on a journey, because it's just delightful, isn't it? It's really something very, very special. And I've got so many books, and I just love it, because I can refer to them as I want. It also reduces the screen time, doesn't it, overall, which isn't very good for the eyes, especially when you get older, and other things start to crop up as well health-wise, don't they? So, so the meta repertory is definitely something that I refer to all the time. It's an amazing masterpiece, I would say. And all thanks goes to Robin Murphy and his team of helpers and volunteers who've left this amazing legacy within homeopathy, but also as far as imparting knowledge. So may God bless him. Now, did you know that there are some amazing remedies in homeopathy for treatment of sciatica, which is generally a result of a trapped nerve? It can be to do with other things, of course, but here, in this example, I'm looking at homeopathy in terms of having a trapped nerve. So perhaps you're exposed to cold, the muscle has gone into a spasm, you slept, in the wrong position. Sometimes that happens, and the nerve becomes trapped, and that can result in pain along the sciatic nerve, which runs from the lumbar area down, but through the buttocks, down the back of the legs. And sometimes that pain can be very, very bad, which even causes the inability to actually stand up even, or to move in the slightest way, because of the severity of the pain. Sometimes the pain extends down the buttocks. Sometimes it starts actually from the back of the thigh and extends down below the knee or just along the calf. There are a number of homeopathic remedies to bear in mind for sciatica. The remedies are, and these are common remedies, Simic Sifuga, Nephalium, Hypericum, Picric Acid, and Silicia, or Silica as it's also referred to. Now, the symptoms associated with Simic Sifuga for sciatica are pain in the lumbar and sacral regions, which then extends down, so towards the thighs, and you can feel the pain actually extending down through the hips into the thighs. Nephalium, very, very effective, and it's actually unquestioned for sciatica, which has associated numbness. So when we've had pins and needles, that type of sensation with sciatica, and also this intense pain that you might experience along the sciatic nerve itself. Hypericum, very, very effective if you have sciatica with pressure over the sacrum, and the pain is indeed intense as well. And hypericum actually works very well when you've fallen on your backside and you've hurt your coccyx, which is the tailbone end of the spinal column. And that can result in sciatic nerve as well, because the fall compresses the discs in the back, in the lumbar area, and sometimes, unfortunately, the nerve can become trapped or the muscle can go into a spasm. So always remember hypericum. The next one is something called picric acid, in homeopathic form, of course. And it's very, very useful in spinal degeneration in the lumbar area. So generally, you know, there are issues with L4 and L5, for example, in the lumbar area. Picric acid is very good here, purely from a therapeutic point of view here. It can be used quite safely in a 30C potency, three times a day, to treat that. However, always take homeopathic remedies with guidance from a practicing homeopath who is licensed and qualified. And the last remedy was silicea, which is also referred to as silica. And this is for sciatica where the pain is through the hips and legs to the feet. So this is the total sciatic nerve here. You've got the back involved, the back of the legs, and the feet themselves. Always remember silica or silicea. So these are the remedies for sciatica, and they work very, very well. They're very effective remedies, tried and tested. And I often have to refer to these when treating somebody who has sciatica for a range of reasons, of course. If you wish to get in touch, you can do so, health@liketreatslike.co.uk, or go to www.ukhealthradio.com, and you'll find my details under the Presenters tab.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hi, this is Atik from the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm here to help and support you in your health and wellness journey, to answer your questions on everything homeopathy and much more. To get in touch, contact me via my email, health@liketreatslike.co.uk, or visit online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by searching for Like Treats Like. Or just visit UK Health Radio online and you'll find my contact information under the Presenters tab. Homeopathy is a wonderful natural complementary system of healing, so let's work together for your health, wellness, and vitality. Time for All Things Natural now, and my next guest. Continuing with the theme of the benefits of honey and propolis, which I have been covering over the last several episodes, I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Tosif Khan from Canada on the show. Dr. Khan is a senior researcher on several studies on the health benefits and properties of honey. One study published in Medical News Today, which first actually appeared in Nutrition Reviews, is on how raw honey could help reduce blood sugar. Yes, you heard it right, reduce blood sugar, and alongside it, cholesterol levels. Dr. Khan co-authored the study in his capacity as Research Associate in Nutritional Sciences at the Temerty Faculty of Medicine, University of Toronto, Canada. Dr. Khan, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us all the way from Canada.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on this program. And nice to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. Likewise. I've been looking forward to this. Can you, for our listeners, just give us an introduction, your background, perhaps, and how you got into this, the research studies themselves?
Yeah, so I was always, so I have a background in medicine. So I'm a medical doctor, and then I completed my PhD in epidemiology. And went into research, especially related to nutrition and right. health. My area of focus is sugars, all kinds of sugars, low-calorie sweeteners, natural sugars, sugars present in foods and artificial sugars. But my something close to my heart was always honey, because honey is a natural sugar. However, it has been it is well regarded to be healthy by people, and also it has been used for a long time by mankind for its health benefits. So I was always interested in looking at honey and see how it compares against other sugars.
It's interesting. I mentioned to I was speaking to James Fernley, who's one of the experts in propolis. From the Apiceutical Research Center a few shows previously. And I was speaking to him, and I mentioned to him that in my household, certainly, we've been using honey for at least 15 years now. And it's totally replaced sugar. And in fact, sugar doesn't taste very nice at all now. You know, it's and we can see the benefits of honey itself upon our health and our well-being. And this is myself and my family as well, and extended family. And it's always been local honey. So I have a real love for honey itself anyhow. And I'm going to be very interested to see, you know, what you've what your research has shown when you share your research with us. Dr. Khan, we know that the study on honey is showing, and in several other studies as well, has always shown the healing benefits of honey. And you've recently co-authored this research paper, which is to do with honey and cardiometabolic disease, explaining how for this condition honey may actually be useful. So perhaps you can enlighten us.
Yeah, so honey, there's several strands of research done on honey. Majority of them have been on healing properties and wound healing. My work has been related to cardiometabolic disease, which is actually studying the risk factors that lead to heart disease or type 2 diabetes. Mm. So they're related to how fast your blood sugar rises, your cholesterol levels, your blood pressure, inflammatory markers, fatty liver markers, your body weight. So we were looking at these risk factors, because these risk factors directly are the risk markers. So if anybody has high body weight or increased LDL cholesterol, they have a higher risk of heart disease. And also, if you have higher glucose, then type 2 diabetes. So we wanted to know how honey is, what does honey do in general to these risk markers. We don't have any studies looking at the disease outcomes. So we have no studies looking at type 2 diabetes or heart disease themselves. So the only way we can study if they can affect those diseases is to look at the markers, the blood markers that are risk factors for these diseases. So we found studies in this area, and the method that we employed is called systematic review and meta-analysis. So systematic review means that we systematically found all the papers looking at honey and these markers, honey intake and these markers in humans. So we looked at all those studies. We found 18 clinical trials in these in humans. Right. Done across the whole world, majority done in North America, Europe, and Asia. And then we looked at, and meta-analysis is that we looked at the honey intake compared to, so in these studies, what they usually do is take a group of people, give them honey, and then take another group of people, like randomized people are randomized to a honey group or a sugar group. And the sugar group get a sugar solution or sugar intake, and the honey groups take the honey intake. And then after 4 months, and the four weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, depending on how long the study is, they look at these markers. So we combined all these studies in something called a meta-analysis. So what meta-analysis does is it actually takes the results of each study and puts the results together. So it's not a simple summary. So what happens is, any study which has more weight, has more people, or has more precise results gets more weight. And then you get a final overall result, which is called a pooled estimate. So we put all these studies together, and many of these studies couldn't find much of the results because the studies were small. Right. However, because we put all of them together, we got 18 studies with around 1,100 participants. That's overall a very large pool of people. So you can imagine, like, it's conducting such a large study with 1,100 people. And in this way, we actually showed new results. So we showed that if you take honey compared to other sugars, it reduces your cholesterol level and also glucose level. So it means that it reduces your risk of heart disease and also may reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. It increases the good cholesterol, which is the HDL cholesterol. And when we further went into the study and tried to find out, okay, some of these studies have reported types of honey. So we found out that raw honey, Robinia honey, and clover honey were driving these results.
Perhaps you can just break down that raw honey is understandable. And what for the listeners, clover honey and Robinia honey is what's the source there?
So clover honey comes from, it's clover is very commonly found in North America. It's a common plant. It's a common plant. So right. So clover leaves. I think in Europe it's less common, especially in UK. However, in North America it's very common. And acacia, so Robinia honey is actually marketed as acacia honey. Actually, the acacia plant doesn't produce honey. It has very little nectar. So what happens is there's another tree called black locust trees. So that black locust tree produces nectar, and that nectar is converted into honey by the bees. And it's actually Robinia, but it is marketed as... But this tree is also called false acacia. So the honey is marketed as acacia honey.
Right.
So if you go to the supermarket and say acacia honey, that's actually the Robinia honey we're talking about. But the actual name is Robinia pseudoacacia is the name of the plant.
Right.
So some people call it acacia honey, but actually it's Robinia.
Now, you mentioned that there's approximately 1,100 individuals that took part. Were they all from different ethnicities, and what were their health statuses generally? Was it quite randomized?
Yeah. So these were mostly randomized trials, and Majority of them were randomized. So we also did a subgroup analysis looking at those which were non-randomized, but they didn't show any difference. So we combined them because some small studies are sometimes not randomized. In addition, these studies come from different places. So these people, so regarding their health, so they're wide ranging. So some are normal health and some have type 2 diabetes. Some have some health problems, like they are obese or overweight or obese. Some have blood pressure, and some might be glucose intolerant. So it's like mixed health. You can say they're mixed health, and they come from various countries. Most of the studies were from United States, Turkey, Pakistan. So majority of studies from there, but there are other studies also from other places.
Now, it's fascinating, you know, as I'm listening to you, because you've just said, and the study has shown, certainly, that honey is beneficial in reducing possibly blood glucose levels. And we all know that honey is deliciously sweet. It smells fantastic, but it's also very sweet. So can you explain... because I'm going to be asked this after the show anyway. So it's better coming from an expert in this field. So where are we in terms of having sugar, which is natural, pure in this case, from the honeybee itself, to helping reduce actual blood glucose levels when you're actually intaking something which is sweet, pure sugar, you could say, pure in its right form?
Yeah, so this is a quite interesting question, and it's not challenging to answer, but it actually opens the insight into honey itself. So honey is 80% sugar, so around 17% is water, or to 18%, and 80% is sugar, and then around 2% are proteins, organic acids, amino acids and other polyphenols, plant compounds. So very small amount, but majority of honey is actually sugar. However, consider it is not a simple sugar. So it's not like sucrose, which is just a molecule composed of fructose and glucose. Like the cane sugar is just sucrose. But honey is a mixture of more than 40 different sugars. Majority of them are common sugars like fructose and glucose and some sucrose, but around 10% of those sugars are actually rare sugars. So rare sugars are those compounds which are, they have different shapes. They are sugars, but they are found very, very small quantities in nature. So for example, in an apple or an orange, you'll find very, very small amounts of these, like very, very tiny. Mm-hmm. But in honey, they are like in 10%. 10% is not tiny. It now becomes a percentage that can exert some kind of effect. And there are studies done which show that, and we published, so my group published a paper a year ago looking at rare sugars. And we showed that some of these rare sugars, for example, isomaltulose is in honey. So isomaltulose actually reduces glucose intake. It actually affects the glucose transporters. It's a sugar itself, but actually slows down the intake of sugars, other sugars. There are some others which can affect inflammation. There are some others which can affect liver enzymes. So all these various rare sugars might be affecting how glucose is absorbed and also processed inside the body. So more research needs to be done, but from what we think, this is the key aspect that it is surprising to see that honey actually reduces glucose. However, this is compared to other sugars. So if you take if a group of people taking sugar, a group of people taking equivalent amount of honey, the honey group will have reduced glucose levels. And that's actually is a benefit. So The rare sugars might be the key here.
If you do have health concerns, please be very, very careful. Do not just go and start eating honey and saying, you know, everything is fine. These are studies. And of course, every individual is different. And always seek professional medical advice and guidance from a medical practitioner before undertaking any change in your diet, because the body is very, very used to a certain diet, depending on how you actually eat and the foods that you've taken. And then all of a sudden changing can sometimes have very negative effects on health. Don't you agree, Dr. Khan?
Yes, yes. So I think your diet depends on how your diet should match your health concerns. And I think drastic changes are always not necessary and ill-advised. And also, I think one has to be really careful. I think the advice should be that in moderation, everything should be in moderation. So there's no carte blanche of like eat honey as much as you can. So what we are saying is even in sugar. So for example, the World Health Organization says that you should have less than 10% of your daily caloric intake should be sugars, made up of sugars, and they call them free sugars, and honey is included in free sugars. Well, actually, we can discuss that. I don't think it's a free sugar, because free sugar is something that they just say is has no other benefit except for providing calories. Honey is slightly different. However, it still is a sugar, so within reason, it has to be within the 10%, and everybody should try that. So in essence, in the end, if you replace sugar with honey, it would be beneficial. And if you're not taking any sugar, then we're not recommending you should start taking sugar. Yes. Or taking honey. But that's a personal decision that people can make.
Okay. What other sort of areas were you able to look at as far as the healing properties? Because the healing properties of honey seem to be increasing with more and more studies, which is, of course, really, really good news. But it's amazing, this substance that is produced, and it's so pure. There are so many health benefits that are coming out from many different types of studies. And is there anything else you'd like to share as to what you've learned from this study as far as honey is concerned?
Our study was mainly looking at cardiometabolic outcomes. So one major thing is that honey did not show harm. So whenever we look at studies that have sugar in them, the only exception are fruits. Fruits have sugars in them, but fruits are generally beneficial, even beneficial for type 2 diabetes and heart, especially beneficial for heart disease. Honey appears to be similar. It has a benefit. Other benefits of honey that we didn't look at, but other people have. So honey has a lot of healing properties, especially for wound healing, especially for ulcers. They can be healed. Plus, there has been studies looking at allergies, and also how it can be beneficial in some upper respiratory tract infections. The research is going on. However, there's a major limitation on all the research that has been done. And it also was a major issue with our study. Very few studies look at the source of honey, so the floral source of honey. So honeybees make honey from flower sources, and every flower is different. Every nectar has different properties. So the source itself tells you the flavor, the aroma, the type of sugars. Even the type of rare sugars change depending on the floral source. So majority of honeys were just blended honeys. So one day, so you take a blended honey from a supermarket, it will be different from another honey, and you can't tell which source it is. So you don't have a consistent product. So you can see probably generally some benefit, but you won't see an exact benefit. The only exception is Manuka honey, which is usually one source. And Manuka honey has been shown to have a very strong antibacterial activity, and that's why it's now approved to be used in hospital settings for wound healing. But this is what that is why we need studies looking at specific floral honey. So that's why we had a number of studies which use Robinia or clover, and we showed that benefit. And if they were raw, then the benefit was especially there. So I think most of the other studies have looked at honey in general, and that's the problem. So you can say they have generally some good effects. However, specific benefits for specific diseases, there's a long way to go still.
Mm. Dr. Khan, what are you going to be looking at next? I'm sure that we're all very interested to know what next studies are on the horizon.
At the moment, we're looking at further characterizing the clover honey, and we're working with a few collaborators. We're doing three trials in America on clover honey, and we are characterizing rare sugars in clover honey in Canada itself, and maybe that will tell us why clover honey has those benefits. So that is one study I'm looking at. There are several other areas of work that I am trying to start, especially I think the issue of honey authenticity. So that's an area I am interested in actually tackling. Honeybees actually reduced the number. Honeybees haven't increased in their number because of colony collapse disorder and probably also of climate change over the past decade or so. However, the amount of honey produced in the world has dramatically increased, which makes no sense. There have been studies done. So there was a latest study done by the Canadian government they looked at honeys that were imported to Canada and then and produced here, and they looked at it, and 40% of honey were adulterated. Either they had been adulterated with fructose, glucose, or syrups. So they're not pure honey. So they're actually adulterated. Wholesale honey prices have plummeted because of the introduction of large amounts of adulterated honey. So the local beekeepers and local honey producers cannot compete with the imported adulterated honey. And it is destroying a lot of livelihood of many beekeepers. There have been many, many news articles. There's even a Netflix, program on that. And it's a major issue. The issue I want to tackle is it's very difficult to test for adulterated honey. If you really want to test properly, you need very, very expensive equipment and a very high level lab. It's just not possible for many, many countries to even own that equipment. And very few universities would have that kind of equipment to do. And majority of governments don't have those equipment. They actually send them to a few labs to test them. So I want to come up with a simple solution to this problem, but I'm still working on it.
You know, this brings me to the question of sustainability. And I asked this actually of James Fernley as well, because of you mentioned climate change and colony collapse. What can we do? I mean, we have something natural, but as far as sustainability for the honeybee, what do you see as the future? I mean, are we in trouble here?
The way we treat honeybees, yes, honeybees are in trouble in some countries. So for example, you'll hear about colony collapse disorder happening in America, Canada, Europe, UK, but I haven't yet seen it in Africa. So a lot of in Africa, honeybees are doing okay.
It's not just honeybees, climate change is huge at the moment. And if we're not respectful to the planet as custodians to look after the planet, and if we're there to, for want of a better word, milk it dry, then we're going to have some, well, we've already started to see the problems, but they're only going to become worse and worse exponentially at a very, very fast rate indeed. So there's a lot that humankind needs to do to not only continue its progression and development, but also certainly to look after the planet, which is actually the priority here. Look after the planet and work together, you know, for the greater good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's very important. So I'm a Muslim. So in the Holy Quran, it says there is a measure for in nature. There is a measure for everything, and do not and humankind is ordered not to exceed that measure. So what it means is everything has a path or a natural way of doing. Forests have to be kept. Bees have to be kept in a certain way. Animals have to be sheltered in a certain way. They have their own habits. If you alter those habits, if you try to mold them to your own ways and actually be cruel to them, then these things will start failing. And the climate will itself start collapsing on you. So the things that have been given to us as a gift by God, and if we misuse them, they will actually start being non-beneficial. They will actually disappear or become harmful for us. So I think that is what we are seeing around the world nowadays, where climate has not been taken care of. So I can only say from honeybee perspective, so honeybees themselves have to be kept. So it's very interesting that they are the only domesticated insect. No other insect can be domesticated, but honeybees are willing to live in the boxes that we make them. However, we have to respect them too. We have to take care of them properly. And if we do, of course, honeybees will thrive again and we'll have as much honey as we want.
And that was Dr. Tawseef Khan from Canada, who has co-authored a study by the University of Toronto with regards to the benefits of honey in cardiometabolic risks. Now, part two of our talk will follow in next week's show. And now it's time for reflection with poems of healing. This one is called Every Time. Discovery, every new day, I discover my renewed journey. Dark is the night, but never mind, as long as love will make it bright. I plant memories of mine, I sow sorrows that are not mine, all is brought in line. I call my heart, my spirit to heal, a body that sinks in real. With little power, a will that is lower, my dream is higher. I bring together hearts from afar, I sweep away seeds of war. I run to the sea, be softer and let me see. Your gentle waves, don't lead astray the boat that I have. I water the gardens of terror, flowers can thus grow. I warm the cities of ice, tomorrow will blow. I take refuge in suffering to voice itself and sing melodies of light and beauty, turning the page and opening for humanity a new path for light. This poem was written by Nidale Y. Noon, published in Sauti Poems of Healing by the United Nations. I do hope you've enjoyed the Homeopathy Health Show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Tune in next time for more things homeopathy, interviews and segments on the healing possibilities that homeopathy can bring you. And don't forget to visit UK Health Radio online at www.ukhealthradio.com to see the many other amazing shows available to listen live and on demand. Or why not download the app from the iOS and Android stores. Until next time, stay safe and take care.